bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otakun. And now, today's Word.
I believe that we are living in awesome times, and my message today is titled, It's Time to Plant and Build. It's time to plant and build. You can tell your neighbor next to you at home, I'm sure there's no variance between the two of you, you can say, it's time to plant and build. These are moments when massive changes are taking place all over the world. At the beginning of his book, A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens describes the world which gave birth to the French Revolution in these very interesting remarks. And he says, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. I read those words years ago in secondary school. Charles Dickens was a great author, and he was describing the scene of the world just before the French Revolution and during that time. Because it was a time when the world thought everything was working very well. There was knowledge, there were new inventions, there was growth, and it seemed as if things were working, and all of a sudden, things started going very, very wrong. It's very much like the times that we are living in. It's a time of abundant knowledge, but it's also a time of narrow-minded ignorance. It's a season of global wealth. It's a season of global economic collapse. We are proud of our scientific advancement, yet humbled by a tiny virus. A year of great hope and a year of great fear and despair. We have looked through telescopes looking for life in outer space, yet we are unable to relate to the life in our neighbor. That is the world of 2020. Great contrast, just like the years that Charles Dickens wrote about the French Revolution. In the midst of all this, these extremes, God has called us to plant and to rebuild. Our mission is like the mission of Jeremiah, which is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Jeremiah was a very young man who was raised by God, and God encouraged him to go to the people of Israel with a word that didn't seem appropriate for the people at that time, because people were very complacent. And Jeremiah's mission was spelled out in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. And this is what God says, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I want you to note, to build and to plant. In this season we are in, we have seen the rooting out and the pulling down. But I believe we are also about to see the building and the planting. It's not just about chaos, it's also about reconstruction. And I believe that this season we are living in is pulling down systems that have been very powerful in the world. But it's also planting and building new systems. And I have every confidence that for us in Africa, it is our time to plant and to build. And whilst we see magnificent empires of the world collapsing, we must also see our season of planting and building. The book of Ecclesiastes encourages us to look at times and seasons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are introduced to various times and seasons in our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. I just want to emphasize on the part of verse 2 and verse 3, a time to plant and a time to build up. A time to plant and a time to build up. I believe that we are in such a time in our nation, and I believe you are in such a time in your life, in your family, in your business, and I believe we are in such a time for our continent. I cannot speak for the whole world, but I have full confidence that for the continent of Africa, for the nation of Ghana, for you, you are in a season of planting and building. Don't be disturbed by the chaos in other nations. For us, it is time to plant and to build. The word plant means to drive in. It means to be firmly embedded. It means to be established. So when I speak about a time to plant, it means it's a time to be established, a time to be firmly embedded, a time to dig in. Because we are about to be established and we are about to rise. The word build means to raise up, to manufacture or to build, to produce and to prosper. To raise up, to manufacture and to prosper. That is what building is. So when God says to Jeremiah, you are going to plant and build, God is saying you are going to establish and also prosper. You are going to introduce a season of planting and prosperity. Life has patterns that it follows. After darkness, there is light. After destruction, there is construction. And I believe that we have entered a season of construction. So today I'm going to focus on two people who had to rebuild something that had been destroyed. And those two people are both in the Bible. The first is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they have been razed to the ground. And the second person we will look at is a man called Zerubbabel. And he was called to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem after the temple had been torn down. These two people were planters and builders. And both of them were planting and building after disaster. So like these two, like Nehemiah and like Zerubbabel, I believe God is also raising up a generation of planters and builders. Individuals who are anointed specially by God to build out of what has broken down, to plant and to build confidence instead of doubt, to plant and to build beauty out of ashes, to plant and build glory out of shame, to plant and build a people who have been down. And I believe you are one of those people. You are a planter and a builder. Somebody say, I'm a planter and a builder. Oh, say it right there in your home. Say, I'm a planter and a builder. Because you have to declare it before you become it. I am a planter and a builder, and this nation, Ghana, must declare to itself, we are planters and builders. And this continent must declare to itself, we are planters and builders. Nehemiah was a planter and a builder, and Zerubbabel was a planter and a builder. They were building in very difficult times, but they did build. They did build. So I believe that this is the time for a generation of builders and planters to emerge out of Ghana, out of Nigeria, out of Zimbabwe, out of Kenya, out of South Africa, from Cape Town to Cairo, from Senegal to Somalia, across this continent, may God raise up planters and builders. And today we call forth a generation of planters and builders. Arise, planters and builders, because this is the time you've been praying for, this is the time you've been preparing for, and the time has come. It's not time for wasting, it's time to do what God has planted in your heart. When Nehemiah was called to build, it was a difficult time, and he records part of the difficulty he encountered in chapter 2 of his book, the book of Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, verses 17 to 19. As he described the situation, he says, "Then I said to them," that is the people around him, "you see the distress that we are in now, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of God, of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he has spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab head of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" Many people have preached from this passage to get churches to get into building projects. But today I just want to speak these words to you, not just to get into a church building project, but to get into a continental building project, to a national building project. We want to rise up and build. Jeremiah describes the situation he's in as a time of distress. I don't know about you, but I think it qualifies to be used for this time, that we are in a time of distress. We've covered our noses and mouths. We are breathing in our own carbon dioxide. We are distanced from our friends. Some haven't seen their friends for months. We haven't touched people. We haven't felt the warmth of human life. It's a time of distress. Economies have collapsed. It's a time of distress. Nehemiah also called its time a time of waste. Everything seems to have collapsed. And a time of burning. Things that were alive had been burnt. And yet, in this time of distress, in this time when everything has been wasted away, in this time when things have been burnt, God called him to rebuild. And so in verse 18 he says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me." The reason why Nehemiah was very confident to build was because the hand of God was upon him. It wasn't because the economy had changed or because life had improved or they were seeing the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. It was simply because the hand of God was upon him. And so many times when we have to build, if we are looking for government to give us the signal, we may not see it. If we are looking for world economies to give us a signal, we may not see it. What we have to look for is the hand of God upon us. And if you believe the hand of God is upon you, and the grace of God is upon you, and the power of God is upon you, then I declare to you, the time to plant and to build has come. It is not determined by global circumstances. It is determined by the power of God. He says the hand of God is upon me and has been good to me. May the hand of God rest upon you, my friends. May the hand of God rest upon you, pastors. May the hand of God rest upon you, presidents. May the hand of God rest upon you, prime ministers, because you are about to do something you've never done in your life before. It's a time to build out of these ashes and the wastage. But at the time of building, there was a voice of discouragement and a voice of encouragement. The voice of discouragement says, "What is this thing that you are doing? What is this thing that you're doing?" You know, when you try to build out of the ashes, people are going to look at you and ask, what is this thing you are doing? It's almost as if what you're doing is nothing. It's insignificant. It cannot work. It's going to fail. What is this thing you are doing? That's what the Nehemiah was asked. What is this thing you are doing? But this is his response. Let us arise and build. People may not believe in your effort. They may not even think what you're doing is significant. But you have to encourage yourself and arise and build. And in 52 days, they built up a wall that had been broken for about 70 years. After 70 years of destruction, they build in 52 days. Isn't it amazing that God doesn't need another 70 years to reconstruct what has been broken, that he needs just a short time? So I declare to you, what God is about to do will be quicker, it will be faster, it will be greater, it will be better. The destruction has been heavy, but the construction will be heavier. Nehemiah built with his team in 52 days. It's not because they were extraordinary people. The defining factor was the hand of God which is upon me to build and to plant. Zerubbabel was also a builder. Zerubbabel was building not the walls, Nehemiah built the walls, but Zerubbabel was building the temple. Because the walls were down and the temple was down. And when they started building the temple, it looked like a joke. It looked like what they were doing was just child's play in comparison with the situation as it used to be. And their story is recorded in the book of Haggai and chapter 2 and verses 3 to 9. Haggai was a prophet that God raised to bring a word of encouragement to the builders, Zerubbabel and his team. And Haggai spoke these words to the builders. And I believe if you decide to be a builder, God is speaking the same words to you. And when they built the foundation, it seemed like nothing had happened. So this is how the passage puts it, Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 onwards. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I'll shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I'll fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. The difference is the hand of God upon the people. And it's remarkable how the phrase, says the Lord of hosts, is repeated several times in this passage after every declaration. That simply tells you, if you want to plant and to rebuild, we're not going to build because of the newspapers and the news media. We're not going to build because of what political leaders are saying. We're going to build because of what God is saying, says the Lord of hosts. The site of insignificance. When they started laying the foundation, those who had seen the former temple saw this new effort, and it looked like a joke. It looked like a joke. And people would look at the efforts that we're making and say, what are you trying to do? Are you telling me you can build to that level of magnificence? Are you telling me you can compete and be as good as the other parts of the world? For us in Africa, people are going to say, do you really think you can be first world? Do you really think you can build your economy? Do you think Africa will ever improve? Ghana will ever improve? Your life will ever improve? I'm not too old, but I remember a time in the world when made in Japan was the euphemism for cheap. And so when they said something was made in Japan, everybody laughed at it. That was in the 60s and in the 70s. I remember when Japan started making cars, Mazdas and Toyotas, everybody laughed at them because we were used to Mercedes-Benzes and we were used to Opels and Vauxhalls and we're used to all these exotic names from Europe, and these people were daring to build to compete with the established forces, and we laughed at them. Toys from Japan broke down. But today, made in Japan is not a euphemism for cheap. They produce quality. Not too long ago, made in Korea was cheap because it had no reputation. But now, made in Korea is not cheap. Although we say that a little about China, but it's not altogether true. So sometimes when you start rebuilding, you'll be laughed at. It will seem as if everything you are producing is cheap. Made in Ghana is cheap. Made in Nigeria is cheap. But in this season, we choose not to despise the foundations we are building. We choose not to look down on our own effort. We choose not to look at what we are doing and say it is nothing. So when Zerubbabel built the temple, they said to the people, if you look at it now and compare it with what used to be, it will seem like nothing. But God says, wait a little bit. And there's going to be a shaking. And he says, I control the silver and I control the gold. And I will shake the earth and I will shake the heavens. And the desire of all nations shall come. I believe that God is about to pour special grace on our continent of Africa. God is about to pour special grace on our nation. We will not be this way forever. We will not be walking in circles forever. We will not be mocked forever. We are not going to be down for people to walk upon us. We're not going to look for other people to speak our case for us. We will arise and defend ourselves and make our own statement and make our own proclamation. But for us to do that, we have to accept that the hand of God is upon us. So for you sitting down, I don't know what you've suffered and how much has been wrecked during these 6 devastating months, especially in the last 3 months. 3 months that the hurricane of COVID-19 has swept through our industries and collapsed them without any sympathy. Swept through our factories and collapsed them. Swept through our nations and collapsed institutions. Things that have been built for years have been collapsed in 3 months. I have read about industries and revered companies that have collapsed. And you shake your head and say, how could it happen? 3 months, 70 years labor collapsed. So when you're looking at the rubble of all this collapse in America, they're so frustrated, they are protesting. Really, because of frustration. In Europe, everywhere, and good old Africa, we don't even know where to go because we look at the people who we thought were established and they are collapsed. Yet, I believe God is saying to us, in the midst of this, a new giant is rising. A new plant is being planted. A new building is being built. A new wall is being erected. A new temple is being built. It's our time to arise and build. Because God's hand is upon us. So God says in verse 4 of the book of Haggai chapter 2, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all the people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord." Verse 9, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace." Can you imagine Ghana looking better than New York? Can you imagine Accra more prosperous than London? Or Abidjan more flamboyant than Paris? Can you imagine that? It's almost an impossibility to conceptualize. Even when you use your highest powers of imagination, it collapses somewhere. But that is the kind of thing God was telling them. He says, what you're about to see is going to be far greater than you've ever seen. Because the epoch of the highest you've seen was what Solomon did. But God says, I'm about to do something greater than what Solomon did. Can you imagine if God comes to you and says to you, I'm about to build something out of you greater than the heroes you read about and admire and hope to be? Can you imagine if you were a fashion designer and God says you are about to build something greater than Armani? Can you believe if you were just an IT company and God says, I'm about to build something greater than Google? Can you believe if you are a shop and God says, I'm about to build something greater than Amazon through you? I'm sure if God stood in front of you and said that, you will laugh at him in his face. Because your mind cannot conceptualize it. But the scripture tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man, the things that God is about to do for his children. If they could do it, you can do it. Why? Because the hand of God is upon you. So today, we want to arise and build. We want to believe God and trust him. Not trust ourselves alone, but trust God that his hand is upon us. And we will build and we will plant. We will establish and we will rise up. And so we're going to pray. We're going to spend a few minutes praying. Wherever you are, in your home, sitting by your TV or by your phone, or wherever you are listening to me, we're going to pray that the hand of God will be upon you. I'm going to pray for the grace of the planter and the builder to flow towards you. That which seems feeble that you have started, may the grace of the planter and the builder be upon you. Put your hand upon your head wherever you are and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I receive today the grace of the planter and the builder. Say, Lord, let your hand be upon me. Lord, let your hand be upon me. Lord, let your hand be upon me. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you this morning that the anointing of the planter and the builder will rest upon you. Put your hand upon your heart and say, Lord, anoint me. Lord, equip me. Lord, enable me by your Holy Spirit to plant and to build. Some of you are young, but you will plant and build. Some of you are old, but you plant and build. Some of you are retired, but you are about to be recalled from retirement to plant and to build. It is not government calling you or your company calling you, but God is calling you out of retirement to plant and to build. Young men and women, God is calling you from wherever you are to plant and to build. Say, Lord, anoint me to plant and to build. I pray for the perseverance of the planter and the builder. When you start doing this, believe you me, you will not get encouragement. Nobody will pat you at the back and say, well done. People are going to try to mock you. You are too old to start this. You are too young to start it. You are a woman. You can do this. You failed the last time. You failed 10 times. Don't try it again. But today, the spirit of the perseverer. You are going to be like Stephen Aquari. You are going to go to that marathon. And although you've been bruised, and although you're falling, you're going to finish this race. Put your hand upon your head and say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the perseverance of the planter and the builder. I receive perseverance as a planter and a builder. In the name of Jesus, I will not give up. I will not quit. I will not surrender until what I see is greater than what I have experienced. In the name of Jesus. By that same spirit that we have as individuals, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our continent. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of begging. I'm tired of us being weak. I'm tired of defeat. It's time for us to win. It's time for us to rise up and live up to our dreams. So lift up your hands unto God and lift up Ghana before God and say, Heavenly Father, we speak favor over Ghana. We speak planting, building into Ghana. We speak new life. We speak new strength. We speak a turnaround over our country. In the name of Jesus, turn us around. Cause us to arise. Cause us to flourish, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for our continent, Africa. When you go to the AU building in Addis Ababa, there is a statue of Kwame Nkrumah there. And underneath the statue of Nkrumah is a writing from the Psalms that Nkrumah himself spoke about. Ethiopia, meaning Africa, shall soon lift up her hands unto God. Ethiopia, Africa, we've lifted up our hands to everybody except God. We lifted up our hands to Europe, to Britain, to France, to Russia, lately to China. And everywhere we lift our hands to, they disappoint us, they fail us. But it's time for us to lift up our hands to God and say, Lord, turn our captivity around. Turn our captivity around. Our children must not suffer our shame. Our grandchildren must not suffer our shame. The future must not be like the present. Turn our captivity around. Lift up your hands as we pray for this continent of Africa and pray that God will turn the captivity of Africa around. We will be like those who dream. Then the Lord will fill our mouth with laughter. Say, God bless Africa. Say, God bless Africa. God bless the land. God bless the people. God bless the mothers. God bless the fathers. God bless the children. God bless the leaders. With favor. With increase. God bless us. Lift us up, O Lord. Raise us up, O Lord. Turn our distress around, O Lord, that we will not be a reproach. In the name of Jesus. I believe today God has released grace upon us. I believe God has released an anointing upon us. I believe God has released perseverance upon us. And for some of you who have been down, from today you will rise. If you are in midlife, in your 50s and 60s, and you think life has passed me by, the things I thought I would do, I haven't done them. I pray that you will have a release into destiny. If you are young and you look at those ahead of you and say there is no hope, I pray that you have a release into destiny. If you are in your 70s and 80s and you say, well, it's for the young people. Moses started at 80. I pray that you have a release into destiny. Nehemiah did it in 52 days. Maybe what you will do in 1 year, in 2 years, in 3 years will be far greater than what was destroyed over your lifetime of 70 years. Don't limit what God can do with you when you trust Him. So this morning, our confidence is in the Lord, that He's raising us to be planters and builders. May the Nehemiahs rise up, the Zerubbabels rise up on our continent, in our land, amongst our people, in our individual lives, in our churches. May God raise up planters and builders. Pastors, your church will not collapse. This virus cannot collapse your church. Don't give the virus too much power. It will not collapse your church. Though you have not been meeting for some time with your congregation, your church will not collapse. It's time for you to believe that God will do with you great things, and you will build and you will plant. And so I speak life to every church, to every congregation, to every church in every corner of this country, that God will cause the grace of the planter and the builder to rest upon the pastors and to rest upon the churches. I speak to every factory floor, that God will cause the grace of the planter and the builder to touch those factory floors. I speak to every construction site, that God will cause the grace of the planter and the builder to arrest the construction site and cause things to rise up. I speak to our markets, that God will cause the grace of the planter and the builder to go to the market. I speak to our highways and our byways, to the young boys and the young men who are selling by the roadside. May God cause the anointing of the planter and the builder to rest upon them. I speak to the beggars on our highways and on our streets. May God cause the anointing of the planter and the builder to rest upon the beggars. We want to see people who used to beg now building, now planting. May God's grace rest upon this nation, and may He turn our captivity around. And may the Lord cause us to do in this season what other continents and nations have done. May this be truly the season of African rebuilding and replanting. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We thank you for the release of your spirit. We thank you for transformation. We thank you for turnaround. Thank you for your presence upon your people. Thank you for your presence upon this nation. Thank you for your presence upon our continent. We see with the eye of faith. We see planting and building. We see, it will be said, whilst others were uprooted and thrown, we rose up, we were planted, and we were built up. We thank you, Lord, for it. We receive it for ourselves, for our families, for our businesses, and for our nations, in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, scream a big amen!
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.